Blog Talk Radio.
For coming. We'd like to welcome Tim Johnson, Steve Martin, Jim Parsons, and Rihanna.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Where do we sit?
Thank you. Hello.
Tim, Jim, Riri.
So everybody is free to take pictures as long as you don't obstruct the view of the person behind you. And
we're
ready to jump right in. Who wants to ask the first question?
Oh, yes, I brought mine.
Everybody's so polite.
Hi, I'm Mitch. I'm a daddy blogger with Gay NYC Dad. And my question is for all of you. How was it to act alone in a sound booth without anyone to work off of? And did any of you do any of the scenes together?
First, walking alone was a big, big challenge for me at first. But then you realize the way in which you're literally not alone, which was Tim in this circumstance. He is sort of your acting partner because he's reading the other lines in the scene, but no, you're decent. But most importantly, he's literally helping paint the image in your head of what you're diving into, because there's nothing. There's not only not somebody else there, there's no set, there's no, you know, it's just nothing. It's whatever you can think of is what you do. But then once it wasn't frightening anymore, it got really fun, because it's a very creative process, you know, because you are alone. It kind of reminded me very much of being a child and inventing things and things like that. But we did get to do, she and I did a session together, Steve and I did a couple of sessions together, and that was kind of heavenly, because if nothing else, it was important to hear the other person's energy and the way they're doing it, and you remember that, or some part of you does, for the rest of your sessions where you're back alone again.
Mm-hmm. Every time I came into the booth, I was nervous all over again. Like, every session Tim and I had, I was so... The first few takes, I would be like, oh, my God, I sound disgusting. But you just keep going, and you start to get the gist of it. You start to get the hang of it. And working with Tim, he's such a great director, so he's really good at teaching and really spelling out the environment or the scenario so that you can go there.
Looking at me?
Yeah,
why
your
not?
Turn.
I was delighted to finally work alone. I didn't have to put up with those hacks like Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin and Marty Short. It was just me.
All right, so this is a question for everybody. So you were all celebrities. I'm sure that if you have a party now, people will come to them. But when you were younger, did you ever have a moment where you had a party and nobody came? Or you?
I didn't have a party that nobody came to, but I don't know. I always had friends, and there was always a group I felt left out of at the same time. I felt, which maybe that's normal. Maybe that was my real middle of the road way of being. I have friends, and yet I'm still missing out. I don't know.
I was once convinced I was going to have a surprise party thrown for me. And I came home, and I mean it. I was really convinced, and there was no one there. The house was empty.
How old were you?
Really?
I was about 21.
Only one party sticks out in my mind as a kid. It was like the best party ever. I was 5 years old, and my mom dressed me up in a church dress and stockings to go to the party in
me
a
too.
Park.
Me too.
And when I say park, I'm not even talking about trees. I mean a play park with a slide and jungle and whatever. But I had a bad experience. She told me not to go on the slide in my stockings, and I refused. And I ran upward with ice cream in my hand. The rest is history. But I do remember that. Yeah, it was.
Tim, how about you?
I actually walked out of a surprise party thrown for me. I had the opposite experience. I had bought tickets to a concert I wanted to see on my birthday, and I was able to get one ticket. And people threw me a surprise party and said, I got to go. They were still there when I got back.
Well, thanks for that.
Thanks
for coming
to the altered state, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn now? Sorry, guys. Hi, I'm Shmika from Hello Beautiful.
Hello Beautiful.
We're so excited for this film. And Rihanna, we're such fans of yours.
Thank you
and
very much.
So proud of this film, because it's going to give the chance for little black girls to see themselves on the big screen.
Yes.
And we noticed that she's from Barbados, like you. So how important for you was it to have her created in your likeness, like your traits and your qualities?
I think it was both important to me and DreamWorks for this character to be as realistic as possible. We wanted little girls to feel empowered, little girls of any size, shape, color, race, it didn't matter. We wanted girls to just feel strong and brave and empowered and beautiful, And like they can do anything and they can take charge of their life or their situation no matter what. And I think we were really, really careful, especially with the animation and making sure that she wore the right things, that her body was not unrealistic, you know. And I think for kids that's going to be very special, for young girls especially. Thank you.
Steve, go ahead.
Go ahead. It was just a joke answer that wasn't going to be very funny.
I'm sure it was. You have a little boy of your own now?
We have a child.
You have a child.
I don't really discuss it.
The question's not about the child. It was more about how did being a father factor into your decision to make this movie, and how did that kind of...
Well, it didn't really factor into it. I was just excited for the opportunity that the audience could finally see an older white guy on... And, no, actually, I love doing animated films. You know, when you do your line, and then you see the animators express it with their genius, and they make it so funny. It's like some kind of classic comedy that you really can't do anymore live, because people don't buy it. But in an animated film, you get to be your silliest self, and it looks genuine.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rita Davis. I'm with CocoFab.com. Absolutely in love with this film. I always say I love animation. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I'll never grow up, and I love this film. I love it. But you know what? There's always a lesson to be learned in animation, and I really got a big message about hope in this film. So tell me, what was the lesson that you all learned from doing this film?
So the takeaway for me has been...
I want to be more like Tip.
Really?
Like, I was really inspired by her strength and determination, because, you know, even in real life, there are those moments where you start to doubt yourself, or you start to really feel like it's not the right thing. You're going down the wrong direction. It's taking too long. It shouldn't be this hard. And you don't know, like, you start to lose hope. And you are right. This movie did kind of bring that back for me.
And I want to be more like Captain Smek.
shallow and
arrogant.
That's a good point, though. I feel that way. Like I've said before, I kind of miss, we're not recording anymore, obviously, and I miss those few hours at a time spent seeing the world through the eyes of this character, because, like, Tip has those wonderful qualities. O has his own selection of them, too. This optimism and eagerness and friendliness and hopefulness that I don't carry with me as in abundance and as much of the time as he does. And there's not a good reason for, I mean, life gets in the way, but other than that, there's not a good reason for that. You could choose to view the world that way almost all the time. That's kind of inspiring to be like our characters, alter egos.
I'm bowing to be more animated.
My question is for Tim. I was reading that you... I'm sorry, right over here. Sorry.
Coming from over there.
That's weird. My name's Monica. I'm with Macaroni Kid. Tim, I was reading in the notes that there was a new technology, Apollo, that was used in making this movie, and it's such a beautifully animated movie. I was wondering how it was working with that new technology and what it allowed you to do in this film that perhaps you weren't able to do in previous films.
You know, the biggest thing I could do is I could bring the camera closer to the characters. And with voice performances like this, the classic film close-up is something animation didn't usually do. An animation close-up would go from the middle of your chest over your head, but a film would go in very tight. But it used to kind of break down when you'd go that close on an animated face, and it would look kind of, frankly, a little bit like plastic. This new technology, we could go right up to Tip, right up to Captain Smek, right up to O, and the animators were able, by the tiniest squint of their eye or the little tiny glint in the smile, you would get so much more subtly. And so it was very powering as a director to be able to do what I think audiences love, get very intimate with the characters.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
it really is.
Hi, I'm PJ from Cool Mom Picks and Cool Mom Tech.
Hello.
And hi. I love that there was a technological glitch, so to speak, with this and all. at Cool Mom Tech, we're all about technology. So I'd love to know what your favorite apps are. On your phone.
What do I use a lot?
BoobyPop.com.
What is that?
Oh, yeah. My fans love that.
What is it?
No, really.
My wife and I are spending so much money on, like, BoobyPop.
They are
disastrous. You'd think the director would get a free copy. But
Square Ready.
What is that?
It's the app that your rectangular pictures could fit in the square box on Instagram.
Oh, for Instagram.
Without the black face at the side.
But you can just move the camera to square.
No. He's so
you don't have an
I do. That's why I do square.
Yeah, but sometimes you want the full look.
She's
you
right.
Want to give
I don't
right
know what you're
wrong.
Talking
about.
Do
you
not
know?
Mess with the math.
She's
full
right.
Full outfit.
Look.
You know?
Are you doing
look.
It now?
Square.
Square.
But see, you lost some image.
Yeah.
And her point is.
My head is big. My
head
is
I see.
Right.
Yeah. Get
that.
See,
close up.
I gotta get them.
Anyways,
I'm still playing.
Square Ready is my app.
You said that. I still like Candy Crush.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I've got 1,000 of them. But, I guess I use Google Play for music.
Mm-hmm.
Use that for
what
music.
What does that allow you to do?
It allows you to upload all your music onto Google, and then it keeps track of it, and you can play it on your phone. Or on your computer, or in the house, anything that accesses. Boy.
No, I like this.
Anything that accesses the internet.
Hi, I'm Ronnie from mom.me.
Hello.
Hi, I wanted to know if you guys have ever hit send all accidentally, or maybe received an email that you shouldn't have?
Oh, my best friend has sent me many things that she should not have sent me. Not this one, the other one, the crazy one. And
she talk bad about you and them?
Oh.
What?
No, but we're not going to discuss that. The details of her messages.
I don't think I've
definitely been sent you. Stuff.
I haven't sent all, but I have gotten. I'm sorry. Do I keep talking over you?
It's really annoying.
I'm sorry.
It's not even when I start talking. When I start thinking, you just butt in.
Well, that means you're taking too long. You need to hurry.
You need to be patient.
I'm sorry.
Boy.
Well.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I've done that thing where you forward an email to someone, and you forget that your earlier correspondence is down. Down in the bottom, and you wonder, did they read 5 paragraphs down? I'll forward this to moron. You know,
we'll get this idiot involved.
Hi, I'm Carolyn from the Stir.
Hello.
Hi. My question is, if you could change color based on your mood, would you?
No. I'm so pale. I think I
could. Yeah. If I could control it, but if I'm doing it against my will. Were you going to talk again?
Nope. I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God.
Okay, good. You were just thinking.
My
I think it'd be awful. I mean, turning red is bad enough when you get embarrassed. But it would reveal your feelings of lust and anger and hatred. Anger, I guess we do. That's all over your face, anger, usually.
We're saving the color of lust for the sequel.
Oh. The adult version.
Does it need a color? Doesn't have other signals?
I don't know.
Hi, I'm Corey from Essence. Steve and Rihanna, did you guys... I see Rihanna contributed to the soundtrack, but did you, Steve and Rihanna, did you help with the overall production of the album, or how many other songs are going to be on the soundtrack?
There are 7 full songs right now on the soundtrack, and it's... Not just me on the album. We worked with a few other artists and collaborated with some people and some producers and scores. I mean, even throughout the movie, the soundtrack, there's a lot of music from the soundtrack in the movie. But Tim worked with, some amazing, talented string players that really helped to score the film and tie all... the emotions together, kind of just give the vibe or the energy just to build the atmosphere of what you're supposed to feel in that moment.
Well, Rihanna and a couple of producers, songwriters, she's had a long partnership with Stargate. We started working on the music 3 years ago when we cast her as the voice, right away. And so I like to think of Home as a non... a non-musical musical. The characters don't burst into, you know, song and
Wait a minute. There's the Boo of Death song.
Steve's right.
Yeah.
You,
which
Jim
I wrote
the
first
author.
Version yeah. of.
Well, you know the story.
I don't remember it, but I wrote it.
You are credited.
With my mouth.
You have seen the end credits. It
yeah,
says Boo of Death song by Jim Parsons. But the funny story there is the Boo of Death song, and I said, Jim goes, well, what is the Boo of Death song? And I said, I just want you to make it up. And he startled and took a deep breath. And then he sang this beautiful, with like a melody. And I went, actually, no, I need you to be really bad. And he goes, oh, I get it now.
It's funny, when I sang it, you didn't say, I need you to be really bad.
Hi, my name's Holly from theculturemom.com.
Hi.
Steve, I read that you compared acting in an animated feature to writing a play because you can make changes and experiment.
Yes, you get to, you know, with a play, you get to try it out, maybe take it out of town, rewrite it, rework it, and even during the run, during the previews, you can make changes. And it's very much like that in an animated film because you could actually do a scene, animate it, try it out, and see if you like it. And then if not, change it. Mm-hmm. Unlike a film, which is a very hard thing to do.
Right, and so on that note, how did you all weave other skills and passions like we talk about playwriting, maybe songwriting, appearing on stage, into your work on this film? How did you weave some of your skills and passions like the playwriting, like the songwriting, like appearing on stage into your roles?
You know, we would meet every 6 weeks or so, each of us, over the course of a couple of years. So I got to work with each of you, you know, 20 times or so. And we would always begin the session by showing them the work we'd done since our last meeting. So I'd show Rihanna a clip of early animation, or Jim would see a scene in lighting. And it would turn into a conversation. I'd say, actually, with Captain Smek as much or more than any character, we played him at one point really kind of harsh and mean, and we looked at it with Steve, and we all agreed, like, the comedy was getting too far buried underneath the drama of it. And then we tried him even more sort of outrageous, and we just would look at it and talk, and everybody brought their sort of best instincts to elaborating on the character.
It's funny, I know Steve was a bigger part of adding things to his dialogue and stuff than either of us were. I never improv'd other than the Boo of Death song, but and I think there's reason for that. I think Steve's better at that than me. Maybe not you, but me.
No,
okay, you're bad at it too. but also, I think that you were making major character changes with him as it was going, and our characters weren't changing quite as much. They were more where they were, but there was a huge sense of playfulness the whole time. In that, the way the story was moving, you would always be getting new things. Like, we're rewriting this scene, so now it does this. We're rewriting this scene, so now it does this. And they were doing, like what Steve said, they were rewriting on the spot. And it's one of the reasons I think it takes so long. Tim always says, I don't know if you like me saying this, but I don't care. He always says, there's really no excuse for a bad animated movie. You have every chance in the world to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel that they were really doing that. They're like, no, let's keep working.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this, actually, Tim and I. I would be in the studio. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would be FaceTiming me or Skyping me to make sure that we get a line here. The very last line we recorded was
6 weeks ago.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was just in a random moment that we had to get in the studio and just do this one line, but it was moments like
was
that
huge,
that
though.
Really
it was
were,
an
you know,
line.
Worth it.
They,
an important.
Sorry. They told me, they said, Steve, we need one more line from you. And I said, okay, I'll come in. And then they said, no, actually, our sound engineers were able to create the sentence from other words. I don't know what it was, but
we added an ed onto a verb. That's all we had to do is say make it a past tense, and it turned out the sound editor said Steve said the same like line a couple different ways, and we were able to snip. Yeah, so.
Hello, my name is Adana, and I'm a mommy blogger at Rattleson Hills. And my question is, I noticed that the main characters, they were both outsiders, and I wanted to know if you were ever outsiders as kids, and what advice would you give children who are being picked on or feel like outsiders?
I have felt like an outsider ever since my first day at school. I mean, I think that's really it. Like, you're at home, and, you know, it's the whole, not to go there, but really, when you're at home, you have this sense of comfort, you belong, you it's familiar, it is you. And not until you leave your home and you have to be in another environment, supervised by completely different people and around different children who come from different homes, and you're immediately exposed to all these type of things, because just as strange as they are to you, you are to them. And it can be hurtful. It comes off hurtful for children, but really they're trying to understand each other, or they really don't understand each other because they come from a completely different background or culture. And it really is just about being who you are, no matter what. Like, you just have to understand that everybody's not going to be like you, even in those horrible situations.
I think that's beautifully put, and I think that it speaks to why the situation, everybody in the movie is into a degree, but specifically Tip and O are in, is such a universal feeling. I love what you just said about you at one point leave your home, where you're like, everything's natural and normal here. I can do nothing that's weird. Yeah. We're normal here. And as soon as you leave, everybody's going to run into a situation where it's like, that's not acceptable here. Okay. you know, so to varying degrees, there are harder times to get through or not. But I think, too, what you say is exactly the truth. There's only really one choice to get through that, and it's to stay true to yourself and know that there are people who, if you're running into people who think you're a real weirdo right now and seem to judge you, there's plenty of those who aren't. And eventually... Yeah, that's going to be your money maker, frankly. Embrace your freak.
It's so true.
Is that it? I felt like an outsider. Are we done?
Right.
I noticed I was talking. Everybody's getting their coats.
Like, I feel like an outsider right now.
I did. Just quickly, about 12 or 13, I felt like an outsider at school. And then this new usage of a word came in, which was nonconformist, and it was lauded to be, you were lauded if you were a nonconformist. I thought, I'm not an outsider, I'm a nonconformist. So I was feeling pretty good at that point.
Did it change?
I
everything?
Still had no friends, but I was a nonconformist with no friends.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Let's talk about your vegetable gardens. It's springtime, everyone has gardens with produce in it. Vegetable gardening is a lot like playing volleyball, except you are not one of the players. You're the coach. So there's a way, believe it or not, squirrels, chipmunks, and other little creatures take big chunks out of your tomatoes, and sometimes they're doing it just to quench their thirst. So before you arm yourself with all kinds of pest controls, install a bird bath or another water source in your yard. So if you give the thirsty little creatures an easy drink, they just might leave your tomatoes alone. Tomatoes and other crops should be kept up off the ground, and this makes caring for them easier and discourages disease and insect problems. So keep an eye out for your tomatoes. And water early in the day so that the foliage can dry out at night. That way, leaf and fruit diseases do not attack your plants. This is Dr. Summer. I'm the publisher of Healing Hands Magazine, and I love speaking to you. And have a good week, everyone.
Better now, feel better now. Here I go, here I go. Hurry up, hurry up. There's no more waiting. We're still the same. put together, the cracks will close in. Hurry up, hurry up.